Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss Structure. Accountability results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP-180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop.
Yep.
And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal Chris Nockey, Terps Radio color commentator. What's going on, C-Nock?
Chris, what's up, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Well, great, unfortunately, man. We got to talk to you about Jordan McNair and then, you know, DJ Durkin. It's not something we really want
to
talk about.
Wait a sec. Jason, you told me we were going to talk about the men's basketball trip to Italy the past 10 days.
How are they still there? Are they back?
They got back last night.
How'd it go?
Apparently it was a great trip by all, by everybody's, posts and
right.
Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. They went 3-0, and I think they had a hell of a time over there. So,
you know what? That's perfect timing for Turds to get out of town. He didn't have to get asked about all this stuff the last 10 days.
Yeah, right? Wear beige and keep your mouth shut, fly under the radar.
Why does it seem like we just can't get out of our own way at Maryland? There's just always something.
It's always something, and it's really, and this is beyond just the occasional pratfall that you see, EB. This is really horrific, and it's by all reports, a very preventable death that occurred, and that's sort of the story at its core, and then you get sort of the onion unraveling here a little bit. So the layers of the onion being peeled back. So yes, very disappointing, and I have no idea why that is.
Can you speak to this? Because you're a former coach, right? Division I head coach. You understand the dynamics here. You push guys. You know what it's like. And you work with trainers. And I'm kind of zeroing in on that relationship because I know that inherent conflict that exists between coaches and trainers, right? Because coaches want these guys available. And trainers want to protect their guys, but they also want to keep their jobs, so they want to keep their guys available. And listen, everyone's going to take the fall for this, but I'm really zeroing in on the trainers because they know better than any coach out there the signs of what's going on in these kinds of instances. And there needs to be a level of independence, I think, Chris, that isn't there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And and the science and technology is such in this day and age that it provides trainers and strength and conditioning guys with more and more information than they ever had available to them. So the decisions ought to be a little bit more cut and dried. Now that said, yeah, there is that emotional sort of push and pull between coach and trainer. And it's funny, I don't even really remember all of that so much. It's funny, I had a conversation with a guy who used to play Division I basketball this weekend, a guy who actually is sitting in that studio, and one of the things that I remember about being a player was coming home, particularly when I was young, as a freshman in college, coming home from workouts and basically just falling on the bed and thinking to myself, I can't do that again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you know what happens? You wake up in the morning, you have some breakfast, and you do it again tomorrow. So the job of the coach, and with the trainer obviously watching alongside, is to push you as much as he can possibly push you. And that doesn't mean he has to harangue you or berate you or humiliate you or anything like that. But ultimately, the job is to ask for more than you think you can give. And it's a kind of a weird dynamic, but it's obviously a critical dynamic in sports.
Yeah.
Had you heard whispers about Durkin and the program, kind of all that other stuff, the bullying and, the toxic culture that was reported by ESPN?
Yeah, well, JP, no, I didn't hear anything like that, but none of that. I read that, and I read the article, which, by the way, was obviously very, very one-sided, and it appeared to be straight from the attorney's mouth, which is, Maryland's not going to comment on it anyway, so I guess it's going to be one-sided. But I didn't think that, to me, I think that's probably business as usual in a Power Five football program where you've got all these elite athletes. What separates one team from another? I mean, Ohio State might have 85 star kids, and that's what separates them from everybody else. But, you know, from the rank and file of, the other 80, 90, 100 Division I, Power Five football programs, what separates them? And, coaches always think they're miracle workers. They think they can be the difference in getting kids to kind of go further than they ever thought they could go. So I never really heard that, but a lot of the stuff that the rhetoric and stuff that just didn't surprise me at all. I maybe I'm blind to all that, but I just sort of thought that was SOP, in Power Five football.
Now, I don't think the DJ can survive it. I don't. If I had to put money on it, I think they'll let him go. But can he survive it if we find out that he wasn't? And maybe if he was or wasn't on the field. But if he was not on the field that day.
It shouldn't matter, though.
It shouldn't. But is there a way he can survive it if he wasn't a part of that particular scenario when Jordan passed out?
I don't know. The thing is that even if he was, and again, if you believe everything in the article, and there's no reason not to, and you wait for Maryland's report to come out. If DJ's on the field, obviously there's everybody's got some culpability here, the thing is that I think you can make the argument that once McNair struggles and he's taken off the field and put in the hands of the trainers, then that's where DJ and his staff sort of cede responsibility. But the fact of the matter is, it's your program.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy who goes and sits in a recruit's living room and looks the mom in the eye and bats your baby brown eyes and says, I'm going to take care of your son, And so ultimately it falls on you. Whether you think it's fair or not, it's just the way it goes.
What makes me think of it, Chris, is because, I agree with you. I was reading that stuff and going, this is pretty much standard operating procedure. Don't sign your kid up for Division I if you're not, there's going to be some ridicule. There's going to be some mockings. There's going to be some man stuff that goes on that is probably not popular or in mainstream culture. But what it spoke to me was, man, they've probably dodged this bullet everywhere, at Maryland, at Ohio State, everywhere for years because – kids struggle in workouts all the time.
Yeah, and when I say it's standard operating procedure, EB, that doesn't mean I think it's right.
Yeah.
It's the culture, and
it is the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, what are the number of kids on a Power Five football team? Is it 100? Jason, is it 100? Is it 105?
Somebody said 120 the other day. I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Maybe count walk-ons.
If you count the walk-ons, it's probably in the hundreds, yeah.
Okay, so just do the math. When it comes to writing an article like that, if you have 100 kids, just using a round number, you have 100 kids, you got, probably 25 guys that are your absolute core guys, starters, guys that you have to have on your team. Then you have another 20 guys who are backups who get a lot of run or get a lot of burn. And then you got some periphery guys in the next 20, so that puts you at 60, 65. That leaves you like 35 or 40 guys who can't be happy about their lot in life, and it also may mean that you've got, a few of those guys just happy to get along, happy to be on the ride-along program. So my point is that you have a situation that's sort of rife with somebody wanting to pop off about a coach in any situation. He's not happy about something, a meeting he had or some sort of a confrontation he had, and anytime you read a story like that that has so many unattributed quotes, it kind of makes me think I'm a little uncomfortable with a lot of that. But I'm sure there's some truth to the stories, and now you have to ferret it out and let the chips fall, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if there's one player or one staffer talking, but when you have the multiple sources, you've got 10, 12, 15 players and a couple staffers, then it really, when they all pile on, it really makes it worse.
Yeah, yeah. And there's sort of that old axiom, too, where there's smoke. You have to deal with it. And ultimately, it's a shame that you have to deal with it because a kid died what is, widely reported to be a very preventable death. And it's just brutally sad. And the worst part of that article for me is, and it was as savage an article about a program as I can remember reading in some time, but the worst part about it as a father, and you guys are all dads, is the father, you know, trying to articulate what he misses most about his son. I mean, that's cripplingly sad when you read that kind of stuff.
No, it's brutal.
No, and Chris and I had the discussion on Sunday, and we were talking about the preseason workouts. And Chris, you played. You know, the one thing that stuck out for me when I was at Richmond was, you know, we get there mid-August, 2-3 weeks before classes start, and we immediately, you know, like the first day, we're out on the track, we're running sprints, it's 100 degrees, and then we're going in and doing drills, and we're shooting for an hour, and then we're scrimmaging. I mean, these were 3-4 hour workouts before the practice.
During a non-practice period,
right? This is way before October.
Right.
This is way before October. And they were harder than the practices. I mean, people have no idea how hard those things are, those workouts. And if you're not prepared for it, especially as an incoming freshman, because at DeMatha, it wasn't even close to that, right? But when you go to Richmond, it's big time. And then you're like, you're coming back to dorm room going, are you serious?
That's why you were 6'6", 185.
Well, that's why I tore my hamstring like the 4 weeks into it.
You know, with the first workout I ever had, I was a freshman at Colorado, and my workout partner was a former DeMatha guy, great player named Tony Ellis. He was a point guard.
Yep.
And one of our first workouts was at Colorado. We were supposed to run the stadium steps. And when you're standing on the field looking up the stadium steps, it might as well be, you know, you hear Led Zeppelin playing in the background because it looks like a stairway to heaven, you know?
Right.
And I remember Tony used to glide up and down those steps like, you know, like he was dancing. And I just struggled so bad. And I remember vividly, you know, literally in the first week, I think I quit like 5 times in my own head. So it's not an easy track for sure.
So I guess this committee or, you know, whoever's investigating said it's going to be minimum September 15th before they make a decision. So that means DJ's not going to be there for the first, let's say, 2 weeks. And Matt Canada takes over. And Matt Canada, you and I were talking about this, he's kind of the outsider. He was brought in, you know, not like he was brought in with DJ staff. He was brought in last year from LSU, and that's probably the logical decision to make him the head coach or the interim anyway.
I would guess, and I think that's not an easy call for Damon Evans, who I'm sure made that call. I think that maybe that was what he was thinking, that he was the last guy in and the guy at least associated with sort of the culture that had come, you know, under fire during the weekend. That's a tough call. I mean, how do you pick a guy out of a lineup in a situation like that?
And then here's the other question. All right, you know, people are talking about Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, and whether or not he should be let go too, because Meyer and Zach Smith were throwing him under the bus, saying that he actually knew about everything. How safe is Evans in this
situation? Guy's only been there a week.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody over there feels very particularly comfortable right now. I mean, how could you or why would you? I mean, I think that you have to, you know, there's a certain chain of command and a line of reporting that has to be followed in situations like this. I'm assuming in the process of Damon getting that job over there, I'm assuming that he and the president had sort of looked at the McNair issues, you know, closely. You know, we live in a day and age where it's hard to keep secrets, man. I mean, and when everybody's got a camera on their hip, you know, and everybody tweets and posts, it's hard to put the lid on something. And my hope is that I would guess these guys certainly understand that it's impossible to keep bad news down. You've got to get out ahead of it, and not just share it. You got to get out ahead of it. But I don't know, man. I mean, it appears to be the story where there are other shoes to drop, I guess. And we'll just kind of see what this panel comes out with in a couple of weeks.
Hey, real quick, just switching gears to the hoops team for Turge. How good are some of these freshmen he brought in? The Jalen Smith kid and the Wiggins kid. Does he like them? And then do you like the core coming back?
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins and Sticks are terrific. They're just really, really good players. And Sticks is one of those guys. I watched him and Bruno play against each other, Bruno Fernando play against each other in practice. And It was really impressive how they were going at each other. Hard to believe that there's going to be a more athletic front line than theirs, provided you have good health there, obviously. Hard to believe there's going to be a more athletic front line. Point guard is solid in Anthony Cowan. It's just that a lot are required out of the freshmen. You know, they certainly look capable. I watched them practice a couple of times before they went to Italy, and I was excited. I mean, it's a good group. I think it'll be fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to being entertained.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Thank you, buddy.
We'll see you, buddy.
Catch you on, hopefully, in better circumstances. Thank you, pal.
All right. See you guys.
All right, man.
Chris Nocke, everybody.
Getting everybody on today with bad circumstances. Chelsea Jane's going to join us at 9. Nationals. Uh-huh. Bad circumstances.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's one of those weeks.
Hey, but we had the Caps.
Yeah, we did have the Caps.
I thought we were going on a Bostonian, like, run.
Oh, well, Grant did say the Washington Valor won the Arena Bowl.
The team that went, like, 2-10?
They had one regular season win.
Yeah.
Four-team league.
Yeah. No. We're falling short of the Bostonian, like,
run.
Well,
hey, in Boston, they didn't necessarily win all the championships in 1 year.
Oh, okay.
So you can get the Nats next year.
Right. It was just like every other year.
Just about.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it was...
just about. You know how good the Patriots are? Yesterday I looked. I can't remember who put it out. Somebody put out their first mock draft, NFL mock draft for next year, right? So I'm looking at the mock draft, and then I just had to see, well, who do they have projected picking last? The team they project to win the Super Bowl. Of course, it was the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Because they'll have the best record.
Two quarterbacks in the top four.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, you're still waiting for that 1 year where they have a down year, or, you know, Tom has a down year, or they get major injuries.
Didn't he lead the league in passing yards last year?
If he stays healthy, he's probably going to be right up there again.
You know, Luke Russert tweeted this, I think, yesterday, and it's true. He's talking about the Nats. Think about it. I'm just going to steal his tweet. It's just sad. Four division titles, once in a generation, six-time All-Star and MVP, multiple Cy Young winners, Silver Sluggers, Golden Glovers, two Managers of the Year, and never had a reliable bullpen. Waste of an era. There's some truth to that.
And not one
now, the bullpen last
win.
Year
not
for,
one playoff win.
For a couple months after they made the moves, after Rizzo made the moves.
It looked pretty good.
The bullpen looked pretty good with Kinsler,
and you were
Madsen,
waiting for the lineup to catch up. Then right. Now the lineup's catching up, and the bullpen went to hell.
Just think of that. A year
the poopy pen is back.
The poopy pen.
The
a
poopy
year
pen.
Ago, a year ago, you had those three guys added. Kinsler, Madsen, Doolittle. One of them's on the DL. A year later, one of them's on the DL.
Who's an all-star, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
All-star.
But when they need him now,
yes.
On the DL, one of them's hurt, but won't go to the DL because he's going to battle through it. The other one's traded already.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. When they made the move for Herrera, I thought they solidified the bullpen. Silly. Thought they completely hooked it, and now it's just blown to a billion pieces.
The poopy pen is back. We'll talk to Chelsea Janes, Washington Post, about that coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Junkies.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You know, Jason, I know you watch Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I think they still dub it as the biggest show on cable. So I don't think that includes network TV, but the most popular show on cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the trailers for the next season?
Nope, not yet. When's it supposed to
start?
Are
you going to be... I think it's going to start... My guess is next week.
September?
Because all of a sudden my DVR is catching these like 5 or 6 minute previews
right.
of the next season. I don't think we're going to be into it as much.
Because?
They jump a year and a half into the future. Negan's done, remember?
No, he's not done.
They have him like in a prison cell.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a big factor on the show. There's no war.
I disagree with that. He's such a good villain. I mean, that's the
you
reason.
You think he'll be prominently featured? I don't think he's going to be prominently featured on
the
show.
I hope they are. That's one of the reasons why I watched it.
And it's Rick's last season.
We knew that. Let's see. Walking Dead Season 9 release date. They better not get rid of Negan. Because I might be out.
I don't think he's going to be on many episodes. How's he going to be featured?
Are you just basing that off of the trailer that you
saw? It was like a 6-minute trailer, yes. They showed Rick talking to him in like a prison cell. What else is he going to do?
I don't know. They'll figure something out.
They got him. I think they cut his throat or something.
Yeah, but they...
I can't remember exactly what happened at the very end.
That's what they did, but they saved him. When's that release date?
Yeah, it's funny. When shows go away for a while and then I'm into it, there's a chance sometimes I just end up bailing on the next season. That's what I do with The Americans.
Doesn't start until October 7th.
Oh, really? Why the hell are they showing trailers already?
It says October 7th here.
The show that I'm into is Last Chance U, Netflix, and I guess they announced that the fourth season is going to be at the same place, right? It's going to be an Independence Community College. And Valdez actually gave us a story that since that the third season debuted, the coach, who's a maniac, Jason Brown, who's from Compton, he's this white guy who's just a complete maniac, who's a brilliant recruiter. He's got like 30 D1 kids there last year, said after the show aired, not only did he get like 5,000 emails from parents and kids all over the country that want to send their kid there to play for him, but he's getting interest from chicks. Chicks are into him and want to bang him.
TV.
And this guy is butt ugly.
TV.
As crass TV. And rude and just like as gross as TV. You could possibly be.
TV and fame, it's cloned for men and women.
Oh, my God. It's got to be like the biggest aphrodisiac ever. He literally is a zilch. He's a big, imagine Adam 20 years from now with a potty mouth. Just ugly, potty mouth,
and bald.
Gross, bald, just gross. And he's fighting off chicks all over the country.
Hey, he's famous.
I guess it's just from being famous. He doesn't even really have a talent. He's not even, like, his play calling was poop.
He fights with all his coaches.
So is he he's
good
an
just
embarrassment.
Because he's a good recruit.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing in that junior college scene.
Well, the girls
scene.
He's fighting off are probably fat pigs.
I bet you there's at least one silly. I bet you there are some like way above his pay grade.
Where exactly is Independence?
In Kansas. The middle of nowhere. Just the armpit of the United States.
I still haven't seen the
I watched
first
the
episode.
First season.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one episode.
Jason, you'd love it.
Oh, I know it would. And every time I leave here, I go, I got to watch it.
What do you do when you go home?
I just get into something else. Or
why don't you just make a little note to yourself? Watch Last Chance U for EB. Watch two episodes and see if you like it.
I'm telling you, it's because when I get home, I like to watch.
Ellen?
No.
Yeah, I know. You're dancing.
Watch the local news.
You and Teresa are dancing in the family room.
When I get home, I watch MLB Network, especially if there's live games on. And then at night, I'm watching games. I'm watching SportsCenter or Golf Channel.
You could take a break from MLB Network from 11 to 2.
162 games.
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I could, but I don't because I love it.
Yeah.
You love Mark DeRosa so much.
He's awesome. And then I watch High Heat with Russo, and that gets me to 2 o'clock. And then, you know, I'm doing something with the kids. I mean, I just lose track.
It's just sort of filler.
I lose track.
Like when you're watching that day after day after day. Like today on ESPN, it's different. It's not MLB. But they're doing like a 36-hour fantasy football thing. They're drafting Tecmo football players.
Yes, they did.
I mean, it's like the worst TV I've ever seen.
They're an hour 15.
They're an hour 15 of their fantasy football draft talk thing, whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're literally drafting like football players from
the Tecmo Bowl. Yep.
From the Tecmo Bowl
era.
Well,
Bo Jackson has to
they're
go
just
one.
Doing, just
Bo
filler.
Jackson was unstoppable.
Just filler crap.
Steve Young and Jerry Rice, unstoppable.
I know, I get it.
I got tired of Last Chance U. Now, I didn't watch this season.
Yeah.
But I watched, like I said, season one. I got tired of it.
I was
riveted. It seemed to be kind of the same thing. Students struggle. Teams really dominant. They'd win a ton of games.
It's true, but I'm interested in the personal dynamics.
What I did with Last Chance U, I watched the first few episodes, and then I just tried to see what happened to the guys.
Yeah, because you can't do that.
There were guys who...
You got to get down to the end.
They started Florida State, then they're on the Nubby team, and I just went to Wikipedia. I was like, oh, okay, now he's
well,
playing...
Well, that ruined the show
for
you.
Now he's playing for a silly team.
Until it's over.
And plus, you want to kind of get to know the personality behind it.
But I like to see the dynamics.
But JP, this school was a big loser school.
Yes.
Like, they never win more than 2 games a season.
I understand, until this guy took over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got up to, like, number 5 in the country. They won the division. The toughest community. By the way, they actually have fans at community college football games. It was just unbelievable.
Mm. Oh, what else are you going to do in Independence, Kansas?
I think there might have been a time where like Montgomery College might have had a decent football team. I think they did. John Kaleo was there.
Yeah, I think they did.
Did people actually go to the games?
When you live in Independence, Kansas?
I guess in Independence, that's all they got going on. That's all they got. They had like a parade for the team. They had a parade in the hurting town.
I'll end up watching it. Just might take a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm just psyched they're coming back for a fourth season. Although I can't believe that the college hadn't fired all the coaches, and I can't believe those kids
who's their
got
best
recruited.
Player?
I don't know. This kid are going to Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, the kids are going to big sillies.
Is that the running back?
No, D-lineman.
No, D-lineman.
D-lineman. They had a bunch of running backs.
The other thing that strikes me
silly.
When I watch the show is how bad the students are.
Oh, they're terrible. I mean,
yeah, yeah. They're
how
the worst,
even
worst
get
students
school?
Ever. The worst grammar ever.
By the way,
ever.
That kid I think that went to Tennessee, I think it's that kid, he announced in front of the team halfway through the year, he said, you got four D's and an F.
Right, but he's going to Tennessee.
He's going to Tennessee.
Rocky Top.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you got four D's and F. Other kid had like three D's and like an F in art. He goes, right. How do you get an F in art?
Right. And my daughter's got a 4.1 GPA and like a 1,200 on the SATs, and she's gonna get rejected from like Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
But these kids are getting Fs. They get one D to get into Tennessee.
Yeah.
They got four Fs and one D to get to
they
Tennessee.
They can't write at all.
That's just
sad. I mean,
sad.
They can't put sentences together in terms of writing.
It's just sad.
No.
I mean, these are extreme. I mean, they're definitely
there's some sort of learning disability as well.
Oh, they have all kinds of issues. They come from the worst
home. Never been taught it.
Does this last chance you have a hot counselor like the first two?
No.
No, but she's the savior of the show. There's a professor.
Right.
Who is like the heart and soul of the show. Right. She's trying to save the kids.
It's a formula. Look, they've got a formula. You got the wackadoo coach. You got the last chance, you know, players, and then you've got a chick who helps guide them in some
She's
way.
She's trying. She's trying her best. She's a real hero.
You're thinking of Brittany Wagner.
Is that she hot? Were the players tagging her?
Well, there was definitely sexual tension between the players and the counselor.
Brittany Wagner. Dude, as soon as I type in Brittany, Wagner comes up.
That's so funny. That's,
how many people are Googling this chick?
I mean, I noticed that. That was the first thing I noticed
so is
when
that
I watched
season,
this. That's season one and two.
Yeah. And then, I'm gonna have to watch.
And then she's gone. Oh, you would love it. It's all. Right. It's almost like a porno.
Is season one better than
well,
season three?
It's almost
three?
Like a porno.
Just the tension between them. There's definite sexual tension.
Right. Well, didn't remember? I don't know.
You can cut it with a knife.
Wasn't Chris Herron? Remember that show that followed him around when he was at Fresno? Wasn't Chris Herron tagging his like academic advisor or whatever? Remember
I don't
that?
Know.
Back in the day. Man, if you do like a season-long documentaries-type show on like a college football kid or college
Chris
basketball
was
kid,
always,
I'm all there.
Chris
I'm
Herron was
in.
Always really into his high school girlfriend.
Right. But I think he also had – I think he also had
You're
like
talking
an
about the 30 for 30?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think he also had like a academic advisor.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of like waking him up and making sure he's going to class, all that. I think it might have been something shady going on there. I'm telling you, remember Chicago Prep Hoops? We watched that show. If you do a season, Hoop Dreams, my favorite movie of all time. If you do a season long.
What was the Chris Herron show? I vaguely do remember.
There was something
a show
on Fresno. I think they just followed Fresno. Right?
Yeah.
If you do a season long show on like a college football program or a college basketball program or whatever, some high school phenom, I'm all in.
Well, look, the college. This is the reality. The college phenoms, they generally have swagger. And so they'll go up to older chicks and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I
she's definitely older, this Brittany Wagner.
Counselor it's hilarious the game that they have. Two. I witnessed Terrell Pryor at NBC Sports Washington just look at a woman. Like a woman came out and he just stopped and he just looked her head to toe and was like, a normal guy just doesn't do that. But he's Terrell Pryor.
Right.
Did he come across as too cool for school?
Oh, yeah.
Did he actually have a conversation with you?
Yeah, because I did. He did Wizards Overtime.
Okay, but off air, did he have a
off
conversation?
Off air, yeah, but he was, you know what? He's just used to being the man.
Yeah.
So most of the time, like during the breaks, people like AJ went over there and
just talked his ear
him
off.
Like he's the man.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Cakes
he got
and I,
bitter because they did this bit where it was around the dunk contest, I believe, and he came on the show and they showed some of his dunks from high school. And I didn't give him a 10, and he got bitter.
Oh, did he?
Was it not a 10?
It wasn't a 10.
Right.
It was a standard dunk.
Right.
But everybody's used to kowtowing to the guy giving him 10s.
Cakes and I spent an hour with LeBron and his high school teammates. We did that. We hosted the premiere of his another great. There's this movie about his high school team.
Mm-hmm.
He just couldn't have been more aloof and standoffish. Just couldn't have been. And I think he's a good guy, but he just doesn't let you in.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's just weird.
By the way, I was talking to a buddy of mine who coaches a travel team. They played in the same tournament that LeBron James' kid played in, Bronny.
Mm-hmm.
And that team won the national championship, shocker. But I asked him how good Bronny was. He goes, he was about the fifth best player on the team.
Hmm. There were that many
sillies. He said there were four kids that were just, head and shoulders better than Bronny, but better than
Bronny. Where do they have Bronny ranked?
I thought that they had ranked number one, but I don't know. I don't know.
It looks
seen
like
that
he's
list.
Playing kind of point guard. So maybe the guys at that age that truly impressed were the 6'10 guys, and he might be, 6'3.
Yeah.
But guys got handles, can hit shots.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to be a stud. But can you imagine if LeBron James' kid's about the fifth best kid on the team, how good that team is?
Yeah. Well, he's got his wife's genes tainting the gene pool, right? If there was a way that only that LeBron could have his own genes only.
Mm-hmm.
Kid looks like he can play. All right, remember coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll talk about the Nationals, another walk-off home run against the poopy pen gets them, and they fall even further behind in the NL East. We'll talk to Chelsea Janes. From the Washington Post at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 o'clock, a little over 15 minutes, Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post, beat reporter for the Washington Nationals, joins us. Nationals have lost their last two via walk-off home runs, as the poopy pen hasn't been able to close the door.
Meltdown City.
For the Nationals, who have fallen further behind in the NL East. Just one game above 500 at 60-59, I believe they are. Or maybe they're 61-60.
I think it's 60-59, yeah.
So, not what we expected. Not what you and Cakes expected when you bet the over on
91.5 wins.
Yeah.
Not even close. Not even going to get to probably 85 wins.
All right, so we'll talk to Chelsea Janes in 15 minutes, but why don't we open up the Junkie Sports page now?
Okay, boys. Looks like we found out a little bit more about Zach Smith, former Ohio State wide receivers coach. Found out yesterday that he did not inform his former boss, Urban Meyer, that he was arrested and charged with drunk driving in 2013. So in addition to the incidents, the domestic assault incidents in 2009.
He's just an absolute disaster.
And I think 15, he also had a drunk driving arrest in 2013. Which
and how long has he been with Urban Meyer?
Well, he was there at Florida in 2009. He's been with him basically 10 years.
The whole ride.
But he did not tell Meyer. He says he did not tell Meyer. He handled it on his own.
I don't blame him.
And
I'm sure you're supposed to, but I don't blame him.
He had to complete 72 hours of community service.
Right.
He was able to do all that under the radar.
His license was suspended for 6 months, although he was able to
drive to work.
Yeah, recruiting trips.
I've had that before,
trips.
But not for DUI.
Right, for reckless.
For reckless.
The thing that's far-fetched to me, if this is true, I heard this, is that when it came to the domestic case, the abuse, apparently, Urban Meyer's wife received text messages from the victim. So,
correct.
For Urban Meyer to plead ignorance is a little far-fetched if your wife is getting texts that the wife of the coach is getting beat up.
Well, I think that we can all assume that he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And he just lied about it at the media day. But he knew. So that happened yesterday, and we've been talking about the Maryland stuff. Who knows what's going to happen here in the next couple weeks, but they have this other independent investigative counsel that is doing their own thing, and we'll find out if all of these allegations are true.
You know what seemed to fade away in the college sports
Someone texted me, by the way, I don't know if this is true. Did Maryland already admit that all of the coaches were present the day the McNair collapsed?
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe they did.
I had not seen that.
Neither have I.
Maybe I just missed it. I had not seen that.
I'm not sure that would make sense. Why would they all be there for conditioning stuff?
Yeah, I don't know if that's right or not. But
I don't even think it matters, though, unfortunately. As Naki said, and it just says you would know, you're responsible for your guys.
True.
So when someone dies under your watch.
I would want to know if DJ was on the field.
I do know this. I'm pretty sure of this, that DJ Durkin was in the hospital every day with that kid after the incident. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't do any good, but he was obviously there with the family.
Well, I hope so.
In the hospital room every day.
His player.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's an evil person.
No.
I mean, he's not a terrorist.
Right.
No, although
I actually thought he was a good guy. The times we've had him on, the time I've seen him speak.
There's a story which Valdez printed out for us that he is a CTE truther.
Yeah, no,
he doesn't necessarily believe in the connection between concussions and CTE.
I think he just kind of, I read the quotes. The quotes there, he just kind of doesn't acknowledge them. He just talks about the benefits of playing football and being on a team and sacrificing for your boys and for the greater good.
Fox 5 confirmed that the team officials that were out there, they called the team physician before they called 911.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how you say there's that big gap between when they first noticed it and when paramedics were called.
So that's waiting
for the
physician to get there.
But how do these guys not
there?
Know right away, okay, this guy looks like he's overheating. We got to get him in. We got to get some ice on him. How do they not know that just sort of instinctively?
No
idea. You don't need to call the doctor to know that. You know what I mean? This looks like the heat.
Well, what kind of dunk assistant's out there?
I don't know.
Or why is there no team doctor out there?
I blame the trainers.
It doesn't
make any sense. The trainers
know. It doesn't make any sense.
The trainers just were scared.
So what do they do? They've let these guys, they let the strength and conditioning coach go, essentially, and the top two trainers. Are they pulling trainers from other sports now? I mean, how do they replace those guys?
Yeah, so they can find people.
Yeah, sure. 100%.
The story which I wanted to say that seemingly has faded away. Remember there was supposed to be this big college hoop scandal with all these programs named? Maryland was actually named there. I guess it was like the Diamond Stone incident. Where whatever happened with that?
Thought well,
all
I
these
thought
programs are going to be exposed as paying players, and
I don't know.
The thing is, I think it was the agents that were paying the players. Like I thought I read ultimately what is going to come out is that the agent paid Diamond Stone to leave. Basically.
Right, Maryland was a bit player in that larger
Maryland
story.
Didn't really do anything wrong.
But the large story was there are going to be all these big, they said top 20 programs exposed for cheating, essentially.
Yeah. Well, maybe the FBI did their investigations and they found out that these coaches didn't know.
Remember, they had Miami in there.
Yeah.
You know, and Larry Naga had.
Maybe they found
out
the agents were contacting the kids and the parents on their own, and the coaches had no idea. Yeah. Well, what else are you going to do?
I don't know. It's a good question. There hasn't been more follow up on that.
All right. So we did talk about yesterday. We talked about the PGA Championship ratings because I believe JP said he didn't watch any of the Sunday round.
I did not watch Sunday.
But we did say wait till the ratings come out because a lot of people did watch it, and it was up 70% from a year ago. Final round earned a 6.1 overnight rating on CBS. It's up 69% from last year, which earned a 3.5.
Tiger effect.
Which was up 56% from 2016. So yes, last year when Justin Thomas won, that was up 56% from the year prior. And then obviously Tiger jumped
a couple years
70%.
Ago. It was poopy.
So everyone was watching it.
Do you think I was thinking about this the other day. So when Tiger was making his move, right, and shoot 64 on Sunday, and but really was pretty spectacular Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, 66, 66, 64. And he was always just enough behind that. Didn't really think he was going to win, but, man, he sure did keep making it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think as he was zooming up that board, did Feinstein was sitting there just bitter?
I don't know. Was he tweeting at all?
No, I don't know. Yeah. But I just know he just hates Tiger. You know, I know he acknowledges and he said he thinks he's the greatest.
I guarantee you, when Feinstein was watching that, Eric Bickle went through his head.
Yes.
I guarantee you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I guarantee he read your tweets. Were you tweeting during the round?
Occasionally. I actually was scared to jinx it, and I know that sounds bizarre.
But if you said
but
one
I didn't
tweet.
Want to go out there and say, oh, you know, and then you know, double bogeys a hole, and then 9,000 people
I know, but he
attack me.
He follows you, so anything you put out, I guarantee you saw.
Well, it depends. No, he has to be checked.
Well, he commented on his.
Oh, I guarantee you he checked.
He commented
on your
Ryder Cup stuff, but I wasn't saying who was going to pick. I was saying who I was going to pick.
100% chance he was thinking
right.
about
but,
you.
Okay,
he was thinking about this. I'm going to have to talk Tiger Woods on Friday when I talk
But do
to
you
him.
Think when Tiger is making his move here and he's making it interesting and everything, that he's like really bitter because, you know.
Yes, of course.
Because he's a Rory guy.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he's everybody
no-brainer.
But Tiger.
No brainer.
He just loves to bring up all of Tiger's shortcomings.
John did say it was a very classy move of Tiger to wait around and congratulate Brooks.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time we've ever
seen it. He was waiting around because there could have been a playoff. No, there could have been a playoff.
By the way, I would have watched it.
By the way, what do you think about his girl giving him the last grab?
Did you see that?
Tiger's girl. Yeah. Well, Radar Online has something that they say the relationship is toxic. She's very controlling. And I believe it.
Well, it doesn't look like
he's sized.
He went up and gave her a kiss.
Okay, he's doing that for the cameras. He knows what's going on.
Demanding.
Well, if it was toxic, he would have said, stay away.
Did you see Brooks's girl?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought she looked homely.
Jenna Sims?
I didn't think she looked good.
I know, but did you see the look that she gave Tiger?
She got all sized to be around Tiger.
She was giddy. Yeah.
Well, they all love
so
Tiger.
So giddy.
Yeah. She was ready to dump Brooks on the spot.
He's beyond golf celeb. He's a celeb.
He's God. In that world, he's God.
Yeah.
And all of those guys, all those players, all looked up to him.
But going back to your rating story, here's the thing. Yes, I didn't watch it. I took my son to a theme park. We didn't get back. I would have watched it.
If you were near a television, you would have watched it.
I would have watched
it. Pretty much anybody with a pulse near a television watched it. I planned my entire weekend around it.
If it was Justin Thomas down the stretch and Billy Horschel was in second, probably not watch it.
The truth is, you're right,
and most people wouldn't.
The truth is, when Tiger is done, golf could go the way of tennis.
Well, you saw what it did when he was out.
It wasn't that great.
But it's not tennis. It'll always be better than tennis.
I hope you're right.
They seem to find other stars.
Yeah, but it's just
because
not the
more
same.
Because more people around the country like to play golf. And I think that keeps it more
interesting. But golf participation has gone down.
True. I mean, you never see people playing
tennis. Golf courses are closing.
Tennis can't find American stars. At least in golf, there are American stars. Like tennis, but they're not as silly.
No, you don't have them. You don't have them.
Probably Isner.
Yeah, Isner.
And like
Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson's Arctic. The old sales guy.
Who are we missing?
JFK.
The Brian Brothers.
Yeah, but he's not as good as Isner.
Okay, but he's zooming up there. You should see where TFO's ranked now. He's zooming up. By the way, Tiger, 10 months ago, was ranked like 1,200 in the world. I believe he's up to 26 in the world.
Well, that's what second place finishes will do for your world ranking.
He's got six top six finishes this year in the comeback year.
He doesn't even know where the ball's going. He's blown away all expectations.
Yeah. He didn't even know where it's going.
Real quick, baseball, we talked about the Nats, the complete meltdown yesterday in the bullpen. They lose. The Braves swept the Marlins. Acuna Jr. had leadoff home runs in both games. That's happened like four or five times ever in a doubleheader. They won the first game 9-1, the second game 6-1. So they sweep the Marlins. They're up a game on Philly, 7 up on the Nats. The Mets beat the Yankees 8-5. That's DeGrom over Severino.
How many wins does DeGrom have now? I know you think he should win the Cy Young, watching all that MLB network stuff.
Let me just say this. I think it's closer than people think. I think Max will win it, because DeGrom is 7-7, but his ERA is 1.8. So all the numbers are really freaking close between him and Max, except for the wins. It'll be close, but I don't think they'll give it to DeGrom. But they beat the Yanks. The Yanks are 10 back of the Red Sox now, and the Dodgers also had a poopy pen last night. They allowed 4 in the ninth and lost to the Giants 5-2. Of course, Kenley Jansen's out for a while because of the heart issue. So their guys could not get it done, so... The Nats are 7 back, playing the Cardinals again tonight. I believe Gigi is pitching tonight. And I need the Nats to at least win one of these last three against the Cardinals, or I owe Sports Yak $150, and I'll be salty.
Chelsea James, Washington Post Nationals reporter, joins us next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.